think we'll go ahead and get started here. We have Brother Steve Clark with us that's going to continue the study on authority. And Brother Steve, just take your liberty here.
All right. Well, thank you. And I was thinking about this whole topic of authority. We started last week in a series on biblical authority, and I was thinking, you know, why are there so many prisons in this country and even around the world? But I'm just, you know, thinking of our country here. You know, the prisons are jammed full of people. There's they don't even have enough beds for prisoners, and they have a lot of people that are in house arrest where they have like a collar on their ankle with a, I don't know, some sort of a beeper or something that goes off if they go out of their house. And I mean, I don't even know all the things that they do, but, and there's so many people on parole, there's so many people that should be in prison that aren't because of not even having enough room. Why is that? And why are there so many divorces in this country where, you know, husbands and wives are just, marriage is just falling apart all around, and not only in the world, but even in a lot of the Protestant churches and different churches, there's divorces. 50% of the marriages, or even more, are end in divorce, the first time marriages. Why are there so many young people just out of control, and the streets are just full of young people that are very violent, and all the different things that they do to their bodies and to their hair and to their the things that they wear. Why is it like that? Well, it's this whole area of authority. Understanding biblical authority is the one of the main things here, or the main thing in all of these cases that I just presented. And I just want to say that having the understanding of biblical authority is very important in our lives. And with that, let's just bow before the Lord and pray. Father, we do just commit ourselves in this Bible study to you this morning, and we come to you, Lord. Teach us. Teach us what you have to say about authority today, Father. Teach us through your word. God, help us to know what it is that we're lacking in our lives even, Lord, and help us to be able to understand biblical authority so we can help others, our lost relatives around us, and neighbors and friends and people that we come in contact with, and when we go to the jails and prisons to minister, and when we go to visit someone who's hurting, Father, help us to understand this area of biblical authority so that we can be able to help others, Father. I just pray that you would bless our time together here this morning, Lord, that you would anoint my lips, and Father, that I would be able to speak your word. Father, I just look to you. We thank you now and commit each one into your hands, Lord. I pray you give us ears to hear from you, not just the ears that are on our head, but the ears that are in our hearts, Lord, that we'd be able to hear from you this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, last week we looked at God's authority over the angels. We had an introduction and looked at God's authority over the angels. The angels who were obedient to God and are used of God, they're blessed by God. And those angels who disobeyed God and were cast out, they are cursed of God, and they will one day end up in the eternal lake of fire. And that's the place where all those who are rebellious and who don't turn to God will end up, is that place. It wasn't made for the devils. It wasn't made for humans. It was made for the devil. But humans will be going there because of their following after the ways of the devil. So obedience brings blessing, and disobedience brings a curse. Well, this morning I want to look at God's authority in the home. And this is a very important topic, like I mentioned, about marriage and divorce in our land today and even in the world. But first I want us to think about something. Is believing in God all that we need? I know that's a pretty general or broad question, but if you believe in God the Creator, even in God the Son, Jesus Christ, who came to the earth and died on the cross, and even rose again the third day. Is that all we need to believe in? Well, I wish I could hear everybody's answers. You know, that's important. Those things are very important to believe in, and that is the most important thing to believe in. But, you know, there's a lot of people in the world who believe in a higher power. They believe in God, and they also believe in Jesus Christ. And some of them even may be saved. I don't know. God's the judge. I'm not the judge in all of that. But those are good and right things to believe in. But we must believe also in another thing, and that is that he gave us his word, the Holy Bible. Think about that. If we think that the book that we're holding in our hands, this Bible, and I hope you have your Bible in your lap, but if we're thinking about this Bible that we have, if we believe that that's just a work of man, or that, you know, God has given it to some, but it's not really correct anymore, it's been changed, or, you know, if we have those kind of beliefs, we're not going to live according to God's word, and we're going to be deceived and really miss out. But if we believe that God has given us his word, and that he instructs us how to live according to his word, and that it is inspired, that God inspired men to write this word, then we're going to live differently. And we're going to see the importance of following God's word. So I just want us to think about that in the light of our topic here today, because God has given us his word in this area of authority, and I believe it's from him, and I believe that we can be led and guided and protected even and directed according to his word, because he's given it to us. This is the word that God has given to man, and it's also the word that we're going to be judged by someday. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Verse 3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us glory and virtue." And so in these two verses, it talks about how God has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Well, how are we going to get the knowledge of him? It's through his word that he's given to us. And so it's a very important thing. Yes, it's important to believe in God and in Jesus Christ, of course, and all that he's done. That is the most important. But we also need to believe that the word that we have is from him, and I believe it. And my life has been changed because of God's word and because of the belief that I have in him and what he said about himself through his word. With all that, we're going to look at authority in the home today. And in looking at the Bible, like I just talked about, God's our authority. And if we think that it's just a book from man, then we're going to see that we're going to not realize God's authority in this way. And we're looking at authority, and we need to realize that it's his authority that he wants us to follow here. Well, God established the home. He's the one that designed it. I want to read a few verses concerning that. We all know them, I'm sure. Genesis chapter 2, 23 and 24, it says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Those two words, leave and cleave, we're going to look at those later today or maybe in another lesson, but those are important words, and I want you to think about those, leave and cleave. But in this verse, in these two verses that I just read, how many women did God make for Adam? Did he make one, or did he make a dozen, or two, or three? A lot of people, or some people in the world, they believe in polygamy. And this is a verse that I've used several times with those who do believe in polygamy, because I've lived in a culture where they're in a country where there's polygamy. But God made one man for Adam, or one woman, sorry, one woman for Adam, and that was Eve. And this verse says that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So this verse is also repeated several times in the New Testament. One of the examples would be in Mark chapter 10, verse 7 through 9. It says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain, or two, shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." So in this subtopic here of God establishes the home, this verse, Mark chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Who joins man and woman together? It's God. God is the one who joins man and woman together. Who designed this thing called marriage with one man and one woman? God did. And no man should put it asunder. We shouldn't allow anybody to bring a wedge in between us as a husband and wife. We shouldn't let any parent even. There's marriages where parents will try to separate a husband and wife, their son or their daughter, because of something. And even myself as a husband, I should not put my marriage asunder. The Bible tells us that in many places. Also, another verse a couple verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, verses 1 and 2, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." So here God establishes the home. He designed it. He said in this verse, now this is my paraphrase, it's not good for you to just have fornication with a girl, or to live with somebody, or to go from one to another, or anything like this. But it's, and to avoid all of that, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. And if you have your own wife, and she has her own husband, that doesn't leave any room for two wives, or two husbands, or even divorce and remarriage. This is every man having his own wife, and every woman having her own husband. So it's God's command for us to get married and not just live together like so many in the world do today. So these verses and many others tell us that God has established the home and designed it. And it was to be with one man and one woman. In our world today, there's a lot of talk and action and even legislation for marriage to be between man or man and man and man, or woman and woman. And why or how can people be so against God's plan and God's word? Well, the reason, I believe, is that Satan hates everything that is of God, and marriage is of God, like we've just seen. God is the one who established it. God is the one who's given it to us in his word. He set it in place in the Garden of Eden, and it is of God. And the devil, Satan, the deceiver, the one who's come to kill, steal, and destroy, he's the one that's against marriage and between husband and wife, and he's trying to pervert it in every way that he can. Satan hates everything that's of God. I think of like the church. Satan is trying to destroy churches. The role of men and women, Satan is trying to mix all that whole thing up. And the list goes on and on. Marriage is one of them. That Satan hates people when they are excited about reading God's word and seeing it as God's authority over us. And so he's trying to destroy people, trying to destroy God's word in any way he can in people's minds. So who is the authority in the home? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Well, this was after the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, and God punished them in different ways. And one of the statements that he made here to Eve was that her desire shall be to her husband, and he shall rule over thee. I don't really know what God's purpose and plan for man and woman would have been if there wasn't the fall in the Garden of Eden and sin coming to their life. But I do believe that God has authority, an authority structure, even in a perfect realm. Even in the Garden of Eden, God made Adam first, and he created Eve out of his side, which lends the thought that Adam was the authority over his wife Eve, even before the fall in that. And so I don't think that women being under the authority of man is just because of sin, and that it's a curse. I don't believe it's a curse, and I hope you will see that through this teaching today. Another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So who's the authority in the home? God's word says right here that the head of the woman is the man. And we will see that it's not that all women, or my wife isn't to be in subjection to all men in the earth, but it's to her own husband. And I believe that's what this is talking about. The man here, the head of the woman is the man. It's talking about her husband. And in the case of an unmarried woman, I believe her father is to be her head. And so that's why God's word is so beautiful. It doesn't just give us real specifics sometimes, but there's even a more general way like this, because an unmarried girl is her authority is the man, her father. But when she's married, it would be her husband. So in authority, there are two parties, those who are in authority and those who are under authority. Here, the husband is to be the authority, and the wife is to be under her authority. Does that mean that the husband is more important to God than his wife, than the wife is? Does that mean he is smarter than his wife? Does it mean that he's more spiritual than his wife? Does it mean that he has more wisdom than his wife because he's the authority? Does it mean that he has more knowledge? Does God have something against women? No. He establishes the authority structure for several different reasons. And we're going to look at some of those, hopefully even later today. But he has given authority. He's given the authority structure for order, for one thing. If in a business or in anything, if there's two people that are in equal authority, it doesn't work out good. And it doesn't matter what position, what level we're in, even in the home. If there was two people that are in equal authority, it doesn't turn out right. There needs to be, for order, there needs to be someone in authority. Now, that authority needs to be a in the right sense, it needs to be a godly person who has is led and guided by the Word of God, so he can be a good authority, and we're going to talk about that. And then those under authority need to obey God in the things that he tells them. And then, like in the case that we're looking at, marriage, it can be a very beautiful thing. So it's not that God thinks that a man is more spiritual or smarter or has more wisdom or any of these things. He may have more wisdom, he may be more spiritual than his wife, but she may be more spiritual than him. But he's still the authority. I think that's very important for us to think of and to look at here. And in that verse that I just read, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Here in this case, it shows that while Jesus was on this earth, that he was in submission to God the Father at all times. It wasn't that, I mean, he was equal with the Father in every way. He's a triune God. He's one. And that's where, you know, we don't serve three gods. We serve one God. And that's why God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, can be of equal authority because they're one. They're not three. And but in this area, I believe, where when Christ was here on this earth, he humbled himself. He laid down his divine attributes in many ways, and he became submissive to God the Father. And so it's not that he was less spiritual or anything like that. And so I think that should be an encouragement to the wives and also to us husbands to see these things. Okay, so the commands and instruction for the husband. I'd like us to look at that here this morning. In Ephesians 5:25-33, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." That's a command, husbands. Did you get that? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own. Okay, I skipped down, I guess, to 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So here, in these few verses, verse 25, he gives the command, love your wife. And then in verse 28, he says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And then in verse 33, it says, let every one of you in particular love his wife, even as himself. So this is a command that God has given to us as husbands. Now, how do we love, husbands, how do you love yourself? It says it two times in these verses. As your own body, and see that you love your wife even as yourself. How do you love yourself? Well, you take care of yourself. You provide for yourself. If you smash your finger with a hammer, you hurt for yourself. But one hand and your whole being and your whole mind and everything is concentrated on that hurt that's in your finger there. There's many different ways that we love ourselves. I just bring that to you. Think about the way you love yourself and how you take care of yourself and what you think about yourself. And then love your wife in that way. Now, the Bible says that no man yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, I believe it says. And so, husbands, love your wife. That is the main command that God has given to husbands. Love your wife. Here's another one, Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So in this verse, there's two commands. loving your wife, and don't be bitter against them. Another translation says, don't be harsh with them. You know, there's a lot of husbands that are very harsh with their wife. Maybe they realize that they are the authority in the home, and they say, wife, do this, wife, do that, get me this, get me that, and don't do that. The manner of speaking to their wife is not right. It's not godly. It's not loving. It's not the way that you would treat your own self or the way that you would want to be treated by anybody. But sometimes husbands treat their wives very harshly. Well, God has a command for us husbands. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. In the whole area of loving your wife, it says that we should love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for us. Think about how Christ loved the church. And I tell you, the church isn't just this lovable entity out there. We're messed up. We have a lot of problems. We have a lot of things that we do wrong and things. But Christ loved us and loved the church, and he gave himself for it. He even died on the cross for the church. And I believe that's what the Lord would have us to see, that we as husbands should love our wives in that way and be not bitter against them. Don't be harsh with them. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 through 5, it says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Or, in another translation, it says, should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. So, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto her husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency, which means your lack of self-control. So, this is talking about a physical relationship, I believe, between husband and wife, and it should be a loving and a giving physical relationship with each other. There shouldn't be harsh demands or just a real carnal look at all of these things, lustful desires or anything like that. It should be a pure relationship between husband and wife. That's the way God has designed it. Okay, in in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So here, there's a command to dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Husbands, you give honor to your wife. Are you dwelling with her according to knowledge? Thinking about the way that she's made up. You know, women are made up differently than men, physically and mentally, and the way that they think emotionally, they're different. And we should dwell with them according to knowledge. We shouldn't just, if they're crying about something or they're disturbed about something, we shouldn't just say, oh, well, get over it, you know. We should dwell with them according to knowledge. We should, because they're made up differently than us. And so, this is a command that God has given, that we would be heirs together of the grace of life. And that's a wonderful thing, being heirs together of the grace of life here. All right. And then it also gives a promise, or it gives a warning here. It says, so that your prayers wouldn't be hindered. And so how many of you want your prayers to be hindered? I don't think any of us want our prayers to be hindered, but they can be hindered if we're not obeying God in the way that we deal with our wives, the way that we're to love our wives and things like that. So here's a few questions for us. Does it say that the husband is to love his wife when the wife respects or submits to him? No. It doesn't say that. It says, husbands, love your wife. It doesn't give any condition. Oh, when your wife submits to you, then you should love your wife. No, it says, husbands, love your wife. So does the Bible say that the husband is to make his wife submit to him? No. It doesn't say that he should beat her or say, wife, submit to me. God says you should submit to me, so you better submit to me. Husbands, love your wife. It doesn't give us commands. I haven't found any commands where it tells us to be harsh with our wife in any way and force them to submit. Does it say not to be harsh or bitter with them only when they are being good, only when they're submitting to us? No, it doesn't say that. Does it say that the husband can force his wife to have a physical relationship with him? No, I don't believe that God's word says that. Does it say to be considerate and respect your wife only when she deserves it? No, it doesn't say that either. We should respect our wife. We should live according to knowledge. We should be heirs together with them of the grace of life at all times. And again, who wants your prayers to be hindered? Well, then treat your wife in the right way, the way that God has commanded here in His Word, has given us instruction in His Word. This area of authority in the home, it reaches down to each one of us. We've all been brought up in a home, or we've all had parents. Some maybe have don't know your parents from because of different circumstances or whatever, but we all are, at least most of us anyway, will be married. Most of us will have wives and husbands and things. It's very important for us to see these things, because I tell you, even in the Christian circles, it's very easy to get deceived in some of these things and to not see God's word the way that we should. Well, there's commands and instructions for the wives, and I want us to look at those also. It says in Ephesians 5, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So here, in verse 22, it says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. In verse 24, it says, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, talking about submission here, the way that Christ, the way the church should submit to Christ. Now, the word, I want us to think about that last word there, in everything. That is a pretty broad word, in everything. Well, we're going to look at some things about authority from the scriptures in different lessons here. But there is a time when it's not right to obey our authority. And it doesn't matter if it's a government authority, a church authority, and even in a husband and wife authority. There are times when it's right for us not to obey our authority. It's not a common thing, it's a rare thing. And there's consequences to be paid for not obeying our authority. But if in this case, if a wife was was told to go steal something. Her husband said, I want you to go and steal something today. Well, I don't believe that it's right for her because the Bible says that we shouldn't steal. And God's our ultimate authority, and we need to obey God rather than man. And we'll look at a scripture that confirms that later. But we are to obey God than man. If the husband says, and this happens sometimes, the husband says, I want you to be a prostitute out there or something like that. And bring money in to us, you know, I need money or whatever, you know. That's, even though the husband is commanding the wife or telling her to do something, it's against what God's word says, and I believe it's right in that case for her not to obey her husband. The word jurisdiction is a word that I'll be looking at in this series. We'll be considering, and the definition of jurisdiction is the extent of power or a district over which any authority extends. And so in this thought of wives submitting to their husbands, the jurisdiction there is their husband. Like I said, it's not another man's husband, it's their own husband. A man's, this is God's command, and you'll see that over and over again in this, in these commands to this, these commands that God has given to wives. Submit yourself unto your own husband. It seems like almost every verse that talks about submission has that in there, your own husband. And so, that is what's right, and that's God's jurisdiction there in for the home. It's the wife to be in submission to her own husband. When you're submitting, you're not only submitting to the Lord, wives, this is to the wives, you're not only submitting to your husband, but you're submitting to the Lord. And that's what it says here in this verse. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And that is obeying God to be in submission to the your husband. But Colossians 3, verse 18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. There it is again, unto your own husband. Another translation says, as is fitting in the Lord. And I believe that's with a heart of submission. That being fit or being fitting in the Lord is a heart of submission. Not just not just submitting out of duty, but having a heart to submit. What pleases your husband? That's the way that you should look at it. What is it? Even if he hasn't said something to you that this is the way that you want, or that he wants you to do something, but you know that's the way he wants you to do something, then you should submit and do that the way that he wants it. Because you have a heart to submit, that you want to please your husband. Another verse, or a few verses here in 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. There it is again. That if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Well, there's many things here in this portion, but it's here again. It says to submit, that wives are to be in subjection to your own husband. That if your husband is even an ungodly man, he's not even a Christian, that they could be won to the Lord, that they could become a Christian without you preaching to them, without you demanding them to love you, without you trying to force them some way to become a husband, or to become a Christian, but they would be won by your conversation. They would be won by your lifestyle. That's what the word conversation means, the way of life or your behavior. And while they would behold your pure way of life as a Christian woman, as a godly sister, as a woman that loves God and fears God with all of her heart, as they would look at your life, they would see their need for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would come to Him. That's what the promise is for you wives. And that it wouldn't be this outward adorning like what is so common today, putting on your makeup and putting on all the things to adorn the body. It's not the outward adorning that's going to win your husband. He's not, you wear some tight clothes when you're out in public and, try to make yourself look like something. That's not going to win your husband, but it's going to be that godly way of life, that pure, chaste way of life or behavior that it talks about here in the Scripture. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Women, listen to that. It's in the sight of God of great price. And verse 5 says, For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husband. It is an adornment for you to be in subjection to your own husband. It's an adornment that's of great price to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. All right. Titus 2:4 says that they, we're running out of time here, says that they, meaning the older women, may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blaspheme. So here's another command and instruction to the wives. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blaspheme. To blaspheme something is to bring reproach to it, to bring shame and disgrace to it. And our wives or husbands, we should never bring disgrace and blaspheme the word of God. And we can do that by our lives. We can do that by not loving our wives the way that we should. We can do that by not submitting to our husbands the way that we should. We don't want to bring shame and blaspheme the word of God. So here's some questions about the wives or to the wives. Does it say that the wife is to obey her husband only when he is treating her nicely, only when he is loving her like the Bible commands him to? No. Does it say that the wife is to submit only to the things that she wants to or feels like? No. Does it say that the wife is to submit to someone else's husband? Does it say for her to submit only if her husband is a Christian? No, it says that she should submit even if he's not a Christian, and that she should win him by her godly life. Does it say that she should give herself to her husband only when she wants to? No. Does it say she should preach to her husband so he will get saved? How will he get saved? We looked at that. We'll get saved by her adornment of a godly woman, a chaste, godly woman. And does she does she demand him to love her and show him in the Bible where it says that husbands are to love their wives? No, she just needs to be have a meek and quiet spirit, submitting to her husband, submitting to the Lord, and let the Lord deal with the husband. Does she also need to love her husband? You know, there's no direct command for a woman to love her husband, but it does say in this Peter passage here that the older women should teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Some of us husbands are very hard to learn how to love because we're a peculiar sort of people. And it's hard to love some husbands. But women do need to love their husbands. Does anyone want the Word of God to be blasphemed? No. I don't think any of us do. I don't think anyone listening wants the Word of God to be blasphemed. And so, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. That's the main command for a husband, as I said, for us to love our wives. The main command for a wife, as we saw in these scriptures, is to submit to your husband. God gives commands and instructions to both, but he doesn't give either any instruction to make the other line up. He doesn't give us instructions to beat our wives, or doesn't give instructions for the wife to preach to her husband, or to, or even for the wife to stand up and demand her husband to love her or anything like that. It doesn't. The Bible doesn't give us those kind of instructions at all because that's not God's heart. He wants each party, each side, whether you're the one in authority or the one under authority, he wants us to do our own part. And then the wife will be blessed and the husband will be blessed and the whole family will be blessed when we do what God has told us to do in the way that God has told us to do it, with the heart that God has told us to do it in. It's very important. Well, I think I'm going to close with that. Our time is going out. I still have one more page, but I think I'm going to say that for the next time. But I just pray that God would use this in our lives, like I said earlier, not only just for ourselves and our own marriages, but so that we can also help others in this area of authority, because it's a very important thing for us to understand in the world that we live in today. Well, God bless you, and I'll turn the time over to Brother Don.
Thank you, brother. I was encouraged with the message this morning. Two of Brother Steve's first comments was that obedience brings blessing and disobedience brings a curse. And I think that we can see that in our lives. I can definitely see that in my life. And then also we can see that in the world around the prisons being full and that the whole thing of out from under authority, and as we see unrest and see gangs and all of that, it's just evidence of authority being ignored and man wanting to do his own thing and have his own way.
Well, praise God. This is Brother Mose. I was certainly very blessed with the lesson this morning. Praise God for clear teaching in the Word of God. I just can't get over the God's goodness and how He has provided for us in His Word and almost for anything that we, in our life. You know, we can go through the Bible and we can find answers. We just praise God for that. And here, we were looking at the idea of authority. Several weeks ago, Brother Melvin Coffey was looking at the idea of, how to raise children and things like that. And it's all there in the Bible. God has, in His wisdom, He has put that in His Word for us. And we praise God for that. It's so beautiful to know the love of God and to experience the love of God and to and his goodness and his foresight for us, and even in salvation. From the beginning, he knew what was going to happen. He provided a Savior for us. Praise God. And I would also encourage each one listening here this morning that you would pray for this Bible study, Saturday morning Bible study. Pray that God would be people's alarm clock, and that they would be able to remember to come to listen to this vital teaching, especially the teaching on authority here that Brother Steve is giving. This is a series, and come on back next week and find out some more on God's ordained authority. So, yeah, keep praying for us at the Fountain of Life Ministries and for the Saturday morning Bible study. God bless you all.
I was thinking of one other thing, is that maybe we would think, well, this whole area of authority, I'd be pretty good at it. I think I understand it and things like that. You know, I really believe that because of the day that we're living and all the authority that's out of control and in this world and in this country, as I mentioned earlier, and like Brother Don mentioned there about prisons and stuff, but this whole society is permeated by rebellion and by this whole, I mean, to think of, you know, being permeated, or I don't know how to really describe that, but it's, you know, it affects everybody. It affects all of us. Even if we think that we're doing pretty good in it, it really affects us. And I know that God's plan or his design is for us to be under his authority. And that's the main purpose, I believe, that God has given us authority so that we can ultimately be under his authority, and because that's what he wants. So I believe we're all affected by it, and it permeates our society. And whether we want to believe it or not, I think if we really look at it, there's probably a little bit of rebellion in all of our hearts.
Just on following up what Brother Steve was saying there, I hear sometimes the term bent, that people are bent this way or that way, and it does seem like in our society that society is bent on rebellion. And we see it, you know, even from my era of growing up, is that, you know, that I, and myself, that I was a rebel. I was just bent on rebellion, and that was what my life was, as I rebelled against authority, my parents, the law, just everything. It seems like I was rebelling against. And there is something that happens to those that are bent on rebellion, and that the law is for the lawbreakers, and God's law is for the lawbreakers too. And we need to recognize those things in our life and repent and walk in that submissive way that God has called us to in his plan of authority.
I'd like to thank y'all for the Bible study this morning. This is Brother Joe in Iowa. And I think that the cause and effect, I guess, is important, I guess, for me when I look at my own life and where I've been and the journey that I guess I've been on. When my life has been out of whack at times, it's been when I don't have the right authority as far as where I need to be. And I just appreciate the admonitions this morning in the scriptures. There's so many things in there I could address, but I'll just say it this way. When my life is in the right order, if things are ordered right, then I am in right authority. I am in the place that God wants me to be. So I just appreciate y'all brothers this morning, and keep up the good work. Thanks.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of his word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or, if you would rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For Moe's, dial 717-656-9576. For Don, dial 717-606-2811. For Jeff, dial 423-618-9491. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 077. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.